Okay, now I'm not concerned anymore. Now it's good.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. No, I appreciate it, Lissa. Feel free to remind me if no one else heard it. But I heard it from my end. So this is the May LHON call. I think we're approaching, what is this, our ninth LHON monthly conference call. I know we have some new folks here, so we'll kind of give you, I'll give you a quick rundown of what we do on these calls and protocol and etiquette, if you will. But very quickly, I want to get into all of the exciting information we have to share with everyone on the call today. We have a wonderful guest speaker. I know we have a few other experts who may be joining the call as well to answer questions about different technologies that they happen to know about. This, again, is Andy. I'm calling from Florida after finishing my 13-hour day so at the office, so I could not be more excited to be on the phone talking to you all right now. And I just want to let you all know that this is sort of a monthly call that we host. And in short, we ask that everyone keep their phones muted because I know and we all hope that there are tons of people on the call and there tends to be a lot of background. So if you can't keep your phone muted by either pressing the mute button or pressing *6 on your phone, that will mute it. Whenever you feel you'd like to add to the conversation and we encourage you to do so, you can press *7 and that will unmute your phone at any point in time. On top of that, we like to keep these conversations pretty light, and there are a few things we try to steer clear of, if you will, those being principally legal concerns, health concerns. No one on this call is an expert except potentially on technology, and that's not me. I'll be the first to say. However, we want to be able to add value to everyone here as best we can. So we'll be happy to answer any of the questions that we're prepared to answer. With that being said, I will give a quick introduction to my two co-hosts. Jessica Loomer and Maria Johnson are both on the call as well. We take turns hosting this call, each hosted quarterly, to kind of switch it up and give it a little different flavor, if you will. But on top of that, we each month we have a guest speaker, and some of what they share each month is a bit of their story, and any advice they have, anything specific that they would like to share with this audience. So we encourage you to kind of take advantage of the wealth of knowledge that these guest speakers have. They typically know more than I do and can answer your questions much better than I, and this month is no exception there. We have a wonderful guest speaker in Jim McCroy, and some of you probably heard him speaking earlier. I've had the pleasure of kind of getting to know him this past week and a lot of what he will get to share with us today. And with that being said, I'll go ahead and kind of turn it over to Jim. Jim, like I, has been affected by LHON, except in his case, much longer than I was affected only about a year and a half ago, and I live here in Orlando, Florida. So he's on the other side of the coast. And with that being said, I will let Jim take it over. Here you go, Jim.
Well, thank you, Andy. This is Jim McCroy. And if anyone has any questions, you know, take yourself off mute and say, hey, let me ask you something. You can do that in the middle if you want. I don't mind. First, I'd like to thank Andy, Jessica, and Maria for giving me the opportunity to speak. And Maria, I'm very sorry, and I'm glad that you have a good sense of humor, Maria. So,
of course.
Because I thought I'd start off with an icebreaker, a joke. You know, they always say when you give a presentation, you kind of lighten the mood there. And it's a blind person joke, of course. So here it goes. This blind guy walks into a bar, and he sits down, and he figures he's going to break the ice with the bartender. He says, "Hey, bartender, let me tell you a blonde joke."
"Hey."
And see, the guy next to him says, "Hey," same thing. "Hey, before you do that, think about this. The bartender's blonde. The bouncer at the door is blonde. The guy next to you is a wrestler, 350-plus pounds. He's blonde, and so am I, and I ride the Harley out front. And the guy wearing the brass knuckles at the table behind us is blonde also." Blind guy goes, "I guess you're right. Let me think. Nah, I won't tell it because I hate to explain it 5 times. Okay, before I get the hook, I'll continue on."
Bum, bum.
So you seem very
really, I have a really good sense of humor.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I thought I'd be a little edgy and hope I didn't break any rules here. But my name is Jim McCroy, and today I was going to talk briefly about my story with LHN. And then I got three or four tips on how to use the iPhone voiceover technology that I think some people may not be aware of. And then lastly, I'm super geeked about this blind square application and truly think every blind and legally blind person should have it on their phone and use it. It is so cool. But I'll save that best for last. So I am 56, I'll be 57 next month, and I've had LHN for 27 years, long time. When I was 30, I got it. And actually, I think I'd like to just start and go back 50 years, 90 years in the past, and just kind of set up my story a little bit, in that my grandmother was one of seven sisters. So my great-great-grandmother had seven girls. And as you know, Libras is most prevalent in males, not so often in females, although some females have it, of course, as we know. And so it didn't show up in that generation. My grandmother, you know, had my mother and one of the had two girls. She didn't show up there either. So for several generations, there were just girls, 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 lots of them, and no LHON, just by luck, I guess. But my mother had three boys, and all three boys were close together, the same age, like 1-2 years apart, all three of us. And so, well, I'm 56 now. My youngest brother, when he was like six, other brother was seven, I was like 8 or 9, started saying he couldn't see too well. So we're going back 50 years now, a long time ago. And he said he couldn't see very well, had a hard time seeing. Of course, there wasn't genetics testing, MRIs. You know, they thought he was lying, thought he was saying was faking it. They sent him to counselors and psychologists and shrinks, not to give him counseling, but, you know, thinking he was faking it and stuff. And it was a very tough time. Of course, I was only maybe 8-9 years old then, so I don't remember a whole lot. I just remember basically it took almost 4 years to get a diagnosis of LHON. And he missed so much school, and it was a big impact on his life getting LHON at back 50 years ago when he was 6, 7, 8 years old, that you know, he missed so much school, foundation going forward, even today, right now. He never finished high school. And I'd like to, one thing I seriously think about is that when you get LHON, at what point in your life does impact you? Because sure enough, a few years later, in the early 70s, my other brother was like now 16. My other brother had LHON. He was by like, say, 14, 15. He'd just been, you know, pushed behind. But my other brother, who's 16, he started saying he couldn't see things. Of course, by then we're talking the early 70s. It was the... Go ahead.
Hey, we're getting a lot of feedback from someone. If you could view your phone by pressing *6.
So my second brother, when he was about 16, started getting symptoms of Libras. And, of course, though, for a teenager, you know, long hair, hippies, and that type of thing, rebellion, affected him quite a bit differently. He did finish high school at the time. Several years later, he did. And I've not kept in much touch with him, but he lives in a commune in Northern California and is kind of still living with hippies. So... I think it affected him. He never got a chance to leave that hippie phase back in the early 70s and so forth. But at the time, I was 18, 19, joined the Army. And so went to see all these specialists to see, you know, both brothers get LHON, and they gave me a clean bill of health. They said, you're 19, you're past adolescence, we see nothing at all, go live your life, you'll be good. So For me, 4 years in the Army, 18 to 22. 4 years in college, 22, 26. Got a job with the world's leading IT companies. IT is information technology, computer company. And been with them for 4 years. When I was 30, all of a sudden, wow, couldn't see too well. And same symptoms, same story, everyone said. I won't go into the details there, but just my diagnosis was pretty quick. Within about a week, because of the family history, you know. And also, it was now 1988 now, so they were able to diagnose me. And I still went through the other tests with a spinal tap, MRI, to rule out any other things besides LHON. But for me, though, having a career, the same week that I was diagnosed with LHON, my only daughter was born. My wife and I had been married for 10 years trying to have a baby, and just about given up. And also my wife got pregnant, and when she delivered the baby that same week, the doctor said, you know, you're legally blind, yeah, that's it, game over. So, but I had no choice, you know, mortgage, family, just, you know, plow forward, and I've just moved forward ever since. And I've been with the same company, Hewlett-Packard, for 31 years now, 27 years LHON, and of course the other 4 years prior. And I'm now an IT manager, moved through different jobs in HP over the 30 years. But so I think LHON affects people differently, whether you get it as, you know, an adult, teenager, or a child, you know, and also 50 years ago versus today. So I have tons of tools and you know, there was no Zoom text back in the old days. The CCTV was huge. So I've gone through all the different tools and technologies and kept up to date and have the latest and greatest. So that is kind of a short story of my story there. And also, with three boys, my parents later years, did have another girl, a daughter, and she has a son, and now he has LHON. My mother's sister, she has a daughter, and she has LHON. So we have, within our just short, immediate family, we have five members with LHON. So it's hit our family our fair share. We've paid our dues in that respect, I guess. So the next thing I just want to pass on, I've got four tips on using the iPhone that I thought maybe people were aware, but some people may not be aware in talking to some people. The first one just is, I use VoiceOver, like many people do, probably if you use an iPhone. Sometimes I want to pass the iPhone to, say, my wife to use, and she says, I can't use it. So there's a feature, you triple-click the home button three times, and you can then just tap and turn VoiceOver off. But people may or may not know, you also can just go to Siri and say, Siri, turn VoiceOver off, or turn VoiceOver on. And so that's just an alternative method, a little shortcut for the pass on. The next tip I thought I'd pass on is, people may not be aware that when you have the VoiceOver, there are actually other English languages that you could use instead. Either the voice is boring, or more likely, though, it's a little hard to understand some of the words. And so instead of changing to Spanish or French, there are other English languages in the iPhone. English Ireland, Irish. English British. I don't recommend that. The guy sounds very, very stuffy. The English British guy does. My favorite is English Australia. It seems I can understand the English Australia version of English instead. So there's, you know, English.
That's just way rock.
Yep.
Everybody
exactly.
understands
us there. Exactly. It's just easier for me to understand. So you can change that in the iPhone from English American, English British, English Ireland, and English Australian. So the next thing just to mention is the VoiceOver has something people may not be aware of called rotor settings. And the rotor is like you pretend there's a knob. You put your finger and your thumb on the phone, and you pretend you're turning an imaginary knob. It'll say rotor settings. And you can change this in the settings, but you can change to have the rate, speech rate, the volume, the typing style, other settings you can set there in the rotor settings. And it's kind of a nice thing to learn about that. There are some actual YouTube videos from the Hadley School for the Blind that actually will help you learn these different advanced features and things for the iPhone. The last tip I thought I'd like to just to pass on, and I think is a biggie, is touch typing. First got my iPhone, and I understand when you're on the main pages in or anything in the apps, you put your finger there and you feel it, take it off, and then it's double tap. Single, double tap. Single, double tap. But for typing or putting in phone numbers, that's horrible. So the first thing that you want to do is go into your settings and change it to touch typing. Now, the way I explain to people, though, simply at a high level, is that if my wife was to use the phone, the fact she takes her finger, and when her finger makes contact with the number 3, that's bingo, she's pressed 3. But for me, if I go down to press 3, and of course I miss 3 and I hit 6 by mistake, it'll say 6, but it's not acting it until I take my finger off. That gives me a chance to slide my finger up to where it's supposed to be, the 3, take my finger off. And so that's touch typing. So it's not a single and double tap, single, double tap. It's just you put your finger there. If you hear what you like, 3, take your finger off. And the fact you're removing your finger will, and use that for typing responses back, as well as even on the phone typing numbers. So seems to me the iPhone default comes out with that old-fashioned way of typing for voiceover, but if you could change it to touch typing, I think it'd help you a lot. So those are just 4 tips that I'd like to pass on.
No, those are all really good, Jim. I mean, I know, I think some of these are actually newer to the iPhone. So if you've had an iPhone since like iOS 4 or 5, some of these are newer. And if you haven't looked up new videos for VoiceOver in the past year or two, I know at least iOS 8 came out with the ability to use Siri to turn VoiceOver on and off. So some of these are new, and I recommend you kind of continuously, whenever a new update comes out, go ahead and install that software update so you can take advantage of these new tips. Thanks, Jim.
Good. Appreciate it. Yes.
Can I just say you can actually change it to touch typing with the rotor, but you must have the keyboard open to do that. Otherwise, it's the keyboard options don't show up in the rotor.
Exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned that because it reminded me of one thing I wanted to also mention. Kind of slick is handwriting. In the rotor settings, you also can have set up, you can, in the settings of the iPhone, you can define what you want to have on the rotor settings. But one of them is handwriting. And so when a keyboard pops up, you can twist your rotor, and it'll say volume, rate, handwriting. And on handwriting, you can pretend you're writing with your finger. And it's kind of slick, and sometimes I like it for numbers, you know, like putting in numbers and stuff. I use it for numbers sometimes. But it's kind of like when you're signing the credit card at the store, you just kind of like squiggle. You actually can just write with your finger on the iPhone. Okay, right now I'd like to just discuss this new app that I've been using recently, and I'm so geeked about it, Blind Square. Lisa had mentioned it a few weeks back. I downloaded it, and $29, $29.99, which is a lot for an app because many apps are free or a dollar or so. But I thought, well, let me give it a try. Now, at first, I thought it was a GPS app. And some of the posts I read, it seemed like it was a GPS app. But I realize now that it's not. Actually, I would like to say it does 4 things, the Blind Square app. It does tracking. It tells you where you're at. It has a huge point of interest, POI database. And it does simulation. So So I kind of broke into those four things. But the first one, really, the biggest one is the tracking. It will supplement a GPS. So if you have TomTom, I downloaded TomTom and returned it to the iStore because it was a iTunes store. It was not good. I have Google Maps. But a GPS app gives you turn-by-turn directions. What it does, though, you know, it'll tell you, of course, as you know, it'll say you're in 3/4 mile, turn right. And sure, when you get right up to it, it'll tell you again, turn right and 100 yards. But the blind strap will tell you along the way, streets and intersections as you're crossing, it gives you a lot more information. So it supplements the GPS, although you can use it without a GPS. And it tells you not just the streets and intersections, but also tells you businesses as you pass them. You know, pizza shop on your left. If you do get blind square, and I fully recommend it, first thing, though, is change the settings from meters to feet. Because when they told me something was 5,000 meters, I said, I don't know what that means. I don't know what 5,000 meters means. Well, 1 meter is 3 feet, so that's like I'm doing the most math in my head. And it also does 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock for direction. Well, I know 6 o'clock is behind me, but I can look at my watch and think, where am I going? But you can change it to north, south. You know, so I had it changed to feet and north, south. And it has intelligence that after so many feet, it then upgrades to miles. And say, in 0.3 of a mile, you know, so, but it tells you the streets and things as you're going past them, whether you're walking, maybe you're able to ride a bike, or even if you're in a car. Now, in a car, it knows you're in a car, and you're moving a little faster, and so it will tell you less streets. It filters it down for you automatically, which is good, because you can imagine if it read off every street in a car, it would be going a mile a minute in talking mode. So it does filter things down. So the tracking can be used by itself. And, you know, I went with my wife to the doctor's office today, and I put it on. And as we're going there, I hear all the streets that she's passing. There's many times that, you know, I'm in the car, and I, like most of you, I'm in a fog. I say, what street are we on? Where are we at? I'm looking outside, trying to make images of the trees and the buildings, the intersections. But sometimes I'm saying, where are we at? This tells me right away here, the corner of Howell, you know, and Ortega Boulevard. And it tells me those intersections as I'm going. And then it tells you, not every single business, but it'll tell you businesses as you pass them. So that's the tracking portion. The other one, though, about what is around you is you can take it and just point it at a direction, and it will tell you all the businesses and things there. It's like it's looking for you, but really what it's doing is using, of course, your GPS location with the GPS locations of the businesses that you're pointing to. So I can see there's a strip mall, but I can't tell what kind of business is there. So I just take the phone, I press the button that says around me, and I just point at that strip mall, and it says Sally's Beauty Salon. It says Pizza House Pizza, Aco Hardware. Just starts reading off all the businesses there. And I went to a major intersection, and just I pointed one corner right off those. I turned around again, pointed to another corner. So it's basically allowing you to see things. People around you who can see, they see things, street signs, and they kind of take it in without even thinking, you know. And, you know, I was at my daughter's house about a week ago, and I had it on in the car there, and they said, Boston Market. I says, you got a Boston Market here? I says, yeah. I says, I love that place. So it actually, you know, will tell you all the things near you, which is a little different than the tracking. It's quite similar to the tracking, but you actually can point the phone somewhere and tell you places there. The next thing about the points of interest, it tells you the businesses, and you can actually just flip through them on the screen, and it will take you to a page where you can actually link to their menu. You can see the Yelp reviews. It puts the phone up there. It says, call them. And so there's a pizza place near me. I just tapped it, and it says, you want to call them? And I said, hey, you guys open? It was just so intuitive and easy to use to get access to these businesses to see their menus. if it's a restaurant, or, you know, to call them, see the reviews and so forth. And the last thing mentioned is simulation. As you start just exploring and saying, well, heck, if I was to go, you know, downtown Sacramento to the train station, and you could, when you're there, there's options for simulation. You can actually simulate you are there. At that point, you can then use some of the research things within Blind Square to pretend you're at that location and then see how many restaurants are nearby there as if you're at that location. So the simulation thing is really a cool feature. So Blind Square, I've got kind of my mind four things. It does tracking as you're en route, and you can use the tracking with or without a GPS. It supplements the GPS because GPSs don't talk that much sometimes. And the next thing, of course, is tells you information about your current location, all of what's around you, and then a complete points of interest database on restaurants, hardware stores, schools, museums, everything. And then, of course, lastly, simulation. There are a couple other things it does more as well. There's one place where it tells you how fast you're going in the car. So my wife's driving in the car, and I'm telling you, 37 miles per hour, you're going 38 now. She loves that. Not really.
And then you can tell her husband to stop speeding, right?
Yes, that's right. The next thing, though, is you can use the iPhone and hold it talking. And I had some corded ear things in one ear. And I had a single over-the-ear Plantronics ear thing. They said they also recommend the Aftershock Blues 2 bone-conducting headphones. And Lisa had mentioned that to me, so I looked it up on the web, looked at some YouTubes, and ordered one. And that's a pretty cool thing as well. And what that is it's a headphone, but it's bone conducting. It does not go in the ears. And so if I was to describe it to you, it's a headphone, but it goes behind the neck. So you can still put a hat on, and it goes over your ears and sits in front of your ear on the cheekbone. And so you can use your iPhone and still have your ears open. For example, we're sitting in a doctor's office my wife brings her iPhone.
Hello.
Hi.
Could you repeat the name of that again?
Yes, I will. Because this is really, really slick. And it's called Aftershocks, but it's with a Z at the end. Yeah, Aftershock, but shocks with a Z. So Aftershocks, and then it's Blues, B-L-U-Z, 2.
Okay.
So Aftershocks Blues 2. And it's
two, is it T-O-O or?
Just the number 2.
Number 2, okay.
Yeah, so Aftershocks Blues 2, and it is a bone conducting headphones means it does not go through the ear, so your ears are completely open, and so you can hear everything. But because the speakers are actually on your jawbone there, it transmits to the soft tissue of your head, and you can still hear it. It's amazing. You see, I can hear music. I can hear it.
How much do they cost?
U.S. $99, which is a lot, but I mean it could be more. But it's well worth it because also, I mean,
is that the name of the company? Is that the name of the company also that sells them?
Lisa,
are you going to post the link?
Yeah, okay. I just posted a link on the Facebook group for both for the Blind Square app and for the Aftershocks. So you're welcome to take a look and look in more detail on the group.
Right, thank you. Sorry.
And I got mine from Amazon. And they have red, black, or like a neon green, that combination.
That will do it. Thank you.
Yep. And what
pink?
Is that okay? And what? It does, though, is it fits behind the neck as opposed to over the head, so you can still put a hat on or a bike helmet, whatever you're wearing. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, well, indiscreet, but also has a microphone built in your phone, so you can be taking calls as you're walking or going somewhere. You know, just press the button, take a call, or you just actually press the button, and it says voice dial, and you just say, call you know, somebody, call John. Mm. And it's a quality product. The batteries last like, you know, 10 hours of talk time or something, and it's rechargeable through USB, and it's really nice. But although the blind square application says they've made some enhancements to work with this, so that the button on the side that lets you, say, change to the next track or hang your phone up, if you're not talking on the phone, you push that button on the side and you can go to the menu of blind square. So even though the phone is in my pocket, I can go to the different menu options in blind square just by just tapping the side of the Aftershocks Blues bone conducting headphones. What I liked about it as well, though, is that, you know, my wife, like many people, she uses the iPhone, and she's sitting in the doctor's office, you know, today, and she's just going through her phone, and that's nice, she's doing that. I pull my phone out, and all of a sudden, blah, 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 blah. Everyone hears I'm going through, you know, my mail, and they hear Maria Johnson says, and I keep kind of private and stuff there. Well, and if I put regular ear things in my ear, then I'm locked out, and, you know, and my wife says, pay attention when they call our name. I said, I just got the in my ear. Well, now, with the Aftershock, because it does not cover the ear, my ears are still open. I can pay attention if they call our name at the doctor's office or anywhere, but I also can still use the phone. So it will work also with Blind Square, the application, but also other uses too. And so I'm geeked about my bone conducting headset as well.
Thanks.
Sounds awesome. Sounds so awesome.
It is cool. Mm-hmm. And it's comfortable to wear. You know, like you get regular earphones and earplugs. I've got some Bose earplugs. And after about 2 hours, I'm rubbing my ears saying, oh, my gosh. But these fit. They don't fit in the ear. They fit just on your temple. So with that, I covered my story of how my family has got LHN their share and how I think when you get LHON, it does impact, you know, how you deal with it, whether you get it as a child, teenager, or as an adult. And then I passed on some tips to everyone on using the iPhone. And then hopefully I recommend everyone the Blind Square app. It's really cool. It lets you get you out of the fog so you can see again.
Right.
Any questions, or did I go too fast, Andy?
No, that was great, John. I would like to give people an opportunity to ask questions, because I'm sure several people have some. You shared a wealth of knowledge with everyone today. So other than the few questions that were already raised, does anyone have other questions? I know we have.
Hey, Jim, it's Wayne. I was wondering, how long have you had Blind Square? How long have you been using it?
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
Do you keep it on in the background on your phone, Jim?
When I'm going places, but otherwise, no, I don't, because it does suck up some battery power, you know. My iPhone 100%, and then I used the Blind Square app today for about 3 or 4 hours. We were out about 3 or 4 hours today, and my battery was now 55%. So I got home, I slapped it into the little charge cord in to get more power. So it does use some power, it does, because the app's running all the time. I guess that the main company that does Blind Square is something called Foursquare. I never heard of Foursquare before, but apparently Foursquare is not used by blind people. It's used by people all over the world to rate and check in. It's kind of like, you know, businesses and stuff. And there's an option in Blind Square to link to your Foursquare account. So I signed up, I downloaded Foursquare, signed up, and that gives you more information about places. Reviews and things there. So apparently Foursquare is an app that people use that when they go to Target, they can say, you know, great customer service, or had to wait in line forever. And so you can go to a place and it tells you all kinds of comments and stuff about places. So Blind Square is...
Hey,
yes.
Sorry to interrupt. It's Rob. And for the room, I'm a guest in this session tonight. And I think joining me as well is Andrea Bednari, and I'll look for her voice in a moment. But concerning Blind Square and Foursquare, they are, in fact, not related. And,
really? I thought it was the same company. I just, what was the parent company? I was thinking. I just guessed
that.
Yeah,
you'd almost think that. The company that produces Blind Square is called MIPSoft, M-I-P-S-O-F-T. And I had the pleasure of accepting the AFB Access Award for 2013 for Blind Square at the AFB Leadership Convention just 2 or 3 weeks ago. In any case, Blind Square uses Foursquare data. So when you were saying earlier your remarks on the bounty of points of interest, those are actually Foursquare's points of interest, and there's something in the order of 60 million globally. So while you may benefit from using Blind Square in your travels in your home state, in the event you had an interest to travel elsewhere, either by simulation, as you illustrated well, or in fact, the points of interest are there waiting for you as well. And one other point related to points of interest, just to expand on your illustration, is that in many cases, the points of interest include menus. And for blind travelers, that's pretty significant for reasons that this room would understand intimately.
Heck yeah.
Very good. Hello, everyone.
Could you repeat again? You're a little muffled. Could you repeat that question again?
I said, this is Andrea Bodnari, just saying hello. Joining Rob today is one of your guests.
Thank you, Andrea.
And this is Lisa. I just want to pipe in and clarify a little bit of background. Like Jim said, this a few weeks ago, I went to Arizona where Jessica lives. We hung out. It was fun. And I was there to go to the ASB conference. And Jessica was supposed to go to all the technology sessions because that's not my strength. But she wasn't able to go. So I was sitting in a session, and the speaker was Rob, who just spoke up, and he was talking about Blind Square. And I was sitting in the session going, huh, this sounds interesting. This sounds kind of cool. I wonder if anyone's used it. So I posted that question in the group, and it was Jim who started expressing, sounds expensive, don't know if it would work, and then he ended up using it, and he's been using it like he said for the last few weeks. And he seemed enthusiastic about it, as you've just heard. So I reached back to Rob and said, hey, you know, I've got someone who's using this and likes it. One of the things Rob was speaking about at the conference that I was at AFB was he talked about they're willing to create an opportunity for groups of visually impaired people to create an event where they will let people demo the Blind Square app during an event. So I asked him if he would do that for us at the upcoming LHON conference in D.C., and he's graciously agreed that, yes, they'll do that. So anyone that's coming to the LHON conference in D.C., you'll be able to try it out without having downloaded it. You'll be able to download a demo of it, try it, see how it works, which is all great. Now, you may have heard early on, Rob is up in Canada, and when I met him in Arizona, I said, hey, do you happen to know anybody in the D.C. area that could come to our meeting and talk about it? And he said, well, yeah, there's this person, Andrea, and she knows all about it. She's been an integral part of getting it started. So I contacted her and said, do you want to come to our meeting in June? And she said, absolutely, glad to. So Andrea's going to come to our meeting, at which point I'll be telling you all of her great credentials. She's a O&M instructor, teacher of the visually impaired, assistive technology specialist, many credentials, and she'll be able to talk more about Blind Square at our LHON conference. And then they both agreed to sit in on this call and field questions because Jim's an avid user with 3 weeks of experience, and these two can amplify and take questions. So just so that the group knows where these two are coming from, that's why they're here, and we're so lucky to have them, you know, involved and ready to field questions and help our group understand how to apply this in our lives.
So when could we get a trial of it when we could start using that?
I can answer that question, and Liz, a great job explaining Blind Square Event. So Blind Square Event is the full-on version of Blind Square. The only difference is that it's limited by time, and it's limited by geography. So Alyssa has provided the location of your conference. We have geocoded that. And a couple days prior to your conference and a couple days following your conference, it will be available for download from the iTunes store. In fact, you can download it now. It just won't work. But it will be ready during that time and that geography.
I have a question. Excuse me. Is there a way to post questions like a board, a message board or somewhere? You know, like, I have some questions, but I don't want to take everyone's time right now. Like, when it goes to sleep mode, why does it go to sleep mode sometimes? You know, I set the sleep mode for 45 minutes so it doesn't go into sleep mode. And sometimes it stops talking after, you know, is that because it went to sleep mode? But I don't need to get in those kind of level of questions in this call, but if there was like a message board where people could share, users could share experience, and someone else might say, oh, yeah, Jim, do this, you know, just share. Is that anything I'm not aware about?
Yes, it is something you're not aware about and something that does exist and something that's very actively used. And one point that's really unique about it is the party that answers those questions, parties, are either other seasoned Blind Square users or Ilka Pritma, the author creators. He makes a point to be on that site every night.
Yeah, he sent me some emails because I did a feedback, and he sent me an email, so I've communicated with him. But that would be – okay, I will search for that then, because I think that would be very helpful for me to kind of share from other Blind Square users. And, you know, there's been so many times in the past where some years back I got off work and got on the wrong bus. It was heading down the freeway. I said, what's this? And it took me to another town. And I got off the first stop, called my wife, and she says, where you at? And I says, I don't know. It looks like there's a McDonald's and a Home Depot here, I'm thinking, but I don't know where I'm at, you know. Could have used Blind Square then. And
can I tell you something that is an option you might not have discovered yet? If you in a situation like that where you want to provide advice or in some cases even ask for assistance, if you go to GPS, you can send a message by SMS or send a message by email to any party you want with any content in the message that you want, and Blind Square will for free send as part of the email or the SMS message a Google map with your current location as a pinpoint, and if it's an area that has been serviced by Google Street View, it will send a picture of the Google Street View based on your current orientation. So if you're facing McDonald's on Smith Street in Hackensack, Washington, if there is such a place, that's exactly what will be conveyed.
Wow, that's cool. I've seen that in the GPS where you can send, it looks like the coordinates and stuff, and so that's cool. A lot of times in the past, because I'm legally blind, to see a street sign, I have a pair of binoculars. And people, it looks really funny when you're at a street sign that's maybe only four or five feet above your head, and I've got binoculars looking at it. People say, what's he looking at binoculars at a street sign? It's just right above his head. Well, now, you know, the Blind Square, I can just, it tells me I'm at the corner of Fruit Bridge and 63rd. It's okay. Got it.
And, you know, as an O&M instructor, I'm using Blind Square as a tool to teach my clients and my students how to spatially update themselves as they're traveling. And one of the things that we often look for would be tactile landmarks or visual landmarks that they would want to save and use to orientate themselves later. And one of the features that I didn't hear you mention yet was that you can actually save a location or save your current location under My Places. And you could name that anything you like. For instance, if there's stairs that you regularly pass, so you wanted to be alerted as you're traveling, you can set an alert distance, and Blind Square will notify you based on the places you saved what's coming up, within 20 feet or 30 feet or whatever you set that distance for.
It plays a little tone or a little noise that says you are.
He's actually going to intersections and like looking at the intersections and then saving them as favorites and relabeling them by the shape and the type of traffic control so that the next time we get to that intersection, Blind Square not only announces the name of the intersection, but it also tells us that it's a plus shaped intersection and it's controlled by a time traffic light.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Jim, could we hear that tone again, please?
It tells me I'm close to, it says, you are 50 feet from home.
Yeah, that's often useful to set up such a marker in advance of a bus stop, for example. The other thing you may want to look further into, Jim, and to those listening, is to plug in transit apps. Transit Plus comes to mind, but there are certainly several that integrate directly into Blind Square. That's one dimension for transportation. The other is Uber, the taxi service. So you can actually hail a taxi, tell the taxi service in advance where you are, where you're going, what the rate is, pay for it all through Blind Square as well.
Wow. Today I heard it mentioned about a bus stop. It says, you know, bus stop, bus 82, 52 feet west. And that's the first time I heard it tell me there's a bus stop somewhere. So, because I'm always looking for bus stops. They're hard to find sometimes.
And you can locate those on the main menu, too. If you go right under travel and transportation, down in one of the sub-menus, it lists bus stops.
Oh, good. Like I said, for everyone, that everyone, you know, for the most part, being legally blind, it's like you're living in a fog, and you're not sure, you know, of businesses, locations, or streets. I go for walks in the evenings. I walk through the same streets. But now, and I've lived here for 6 years, this house, and I've walked these same neighborhoods, but I've got a whole new perception now. I now know Ortega Street. I never knew this main street here was Ortega Street. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was the way I always walked. So,
and have you tried the feature where if you shake your phone, it tells you your closest address, the street in which
yes.
you're traveling, the direction, and then the next coming intersection? That's my favorite.
Yeah, I like that. I just shake the phone, and it tells you, ding, 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 and it says, don't look.
Can you say that one more time, Andrea?
I said, while you're traveling with Blind Square, if you shake your phone, it will announce to you your closest address, the street in which you're traveling on, the direction in which you're heading, as well as the next intersection that you're approaching and the distance from that.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, that sounds great.
Just to amplify the story about knowing new discoveries as you walk the street, there's three quick stories. One is from a user who found himself in San Francisco, and he's from Miami, and found himself dropped off at a bus stop that he didn't expect because of road construction or the otherwise. And he said, you know, I reached into my pocket and brought my iPhone out like a lightsaber, and in a moment I knew where I was and what my options were. But I think the one that's probably the most delightful to me is someone that I know personally who is housebound or was housebound until he got Blind Square. He's someone who's received the best of O&M training, but depended a lot on his sighted wife for travel and transit. Had an interest in venturing out further, and his wife was very supportive in providing a braille representation of the street network around him and the like, and his neighborhood is safe, but he just didn't for reasons of fear or apprehension in short. He investigated with Blind Square through simulation from the comfort of his easy chair to the point where he was very comfortable not only knowing what the turns would be, how far they would be, that Blind Square would guide him along the way, but much to his delight, his target destination, which was a favorite restaurant, he found that there's a barbershop just around the corner in the same plaza and a winemaking store. So he had just these extra rewards, and his world just got bigger as a result.
Exactly.
That's amazing, Rob. I thought... And hopefully, I mean, we will all have stories like that before long. I know I have just recently downloaded it, but it certainly sounds like something that could help all of us.
Well, you have the great opportunity of meeting and interacting with Andrea. Andrea is the first Blind Square certified trainer, and as she was introduced, she's a TVI, so she has a network of children that she provides training to, but also, and in particular, in the last month or so, and her calendar is full, or fast getting full, coming through the summer, as she advances on training trainers, training O&Ms, and training at the universities that provide education for O&M candidates as they're advancing through their education. So she knows the product intimately, and plus she's just a blast. You'll enjoy spending time with Andrea.
Well, we had a great time hiking with it. I went down with a couple of O&Mers that were actually blind themselves, and we went hiking, and we used Blind Square to draw, you know, like points of interest, almost like breadcrumbs along the way. And we actually had to use Blind Square and the tracking feature. So by picking one of our points of interest and setting it as an item that we wanted to track or basically get back to, we just flipped to the tools menu and enabled that GPS panel, and it gave us really good directions, cardinal directions, to ensure that we were going the right way. And even if someone sighted, I was completely lost. So I was reliant then, you know, because I had no visual cues as to how to get out, and it really worked well. So exciting things that I continue to find out about the product just from playing with it with some of my friends out here.
Well, how does that work when you're out in, you know, say, hiking in the wilderness, and if there's no intersections in those streets? Do you just stop at, like, a place in the trail and say, mark this as a favorite, and then go to the next place in the trail and have a series of favorites you mark, or what?
Basically, you know, and what we did is we tried to look for landmarks along the way. For instance, we came across, like, a wooden bridge, and so we would mark that as a landmark, something that we would typically casually recognize if we were walking even without Blind Square, you know, so a wooden bridge, because we would step on that and say, oh. So what we wanted Blind Square to do after we sort of tracked those points of interest, we went back into the settings and we changed the filter settings to only speak my favorites or places that I had just dropped. And so then we used the look around feature to figure out where those breadcrumbs were that we dropped, and it told us where they were and how far away they were. And when we heard one that we wanted, we just went back to my favorites and said, let's track that one and get to that one. But, you know, initially we set them up like 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5. Because what we had done was I would go and say, add this as a favorite, and then I would click the edit button, and I would rename it and give it a name, such as 0.1 or wooden grid.
Yeah.
So that it's announced the way I want it. Now, what I found out was that, you know, when you're in the woods, I might have followed the trail, and I marked them all, like, 1 through 7. But when I was in the look around feature, I actually found that maybe part 2 was actually closer to me in relation to what my next point 6 would have been if I was backtracking. So I kind of figured out that, you know, if I was dropping those breadcrumbs, I'd want not to use numbers, but, you know, to use better information, like, you know, feels like wooden steps, or, you know, careful, there's a drop-off.
Exactly. It reminds me of, it reminds me of another feature it does. It tells you how far you've gone. It told me last night, it says you've walked 2.46 miles in 48 minutes. So as you're walking, it tells you how far you've gone and in what time.
Another really good tool we use is O&M's teachers when we're teaching our students how to negotiate time and distance in their walking and measure that independently. So this is a great tool to double check just that kind of concept that we teach.
Yeah.
Jim, you were saying that you really liked the Australian voice, and one of the truths of the Apple Australian voice is it's a popular one for people that really like to listen to their voice over speech accelerated because the clarity of the speech is high. What you might not have found yet in Blind Square are the voices. You will have a choice of 35 English voices. And
oh, really?
I'm sighted, my full sighted, my wife is full sighted, yet we both use Blind Square. She loves it when she goes out for a walk. And her voice of choice is called Will Afar. And I'll just mark that with you as a point of interest, because it'll make you chuckle when you hear it, because for all the world, it sounds like somebody that's about 30 feet away from you, or maybe 50 feet away from you, going, Jim, turn right here. And it never ceases to get her just giggling, you know. But Have fun with that. But there's also in support now in excess of 25 languages, because not all of us are English first speaking. I am by far, or at least Canadian by choice. But you can explore that as a fact as well.
I have a question. Maybe this isn't a good comparison, but is there a comparison between this app and the Seeing Eye GPS app that Sendero makes?
Yeah, I've used the Sendero Look Around, the free version, and recently I just got a hold of the new Seeing Eye program, so I haven't completely tested that. But what I do know about the free app for the Look Around is that it doesn't update you in terms of when you're walking. And the coordinates, you know, in terms of the information that you get back in terms of the businesses in the area, aren't filtered and are arranged for you by categories. It's a great app. I used to use it with my students. So when I would do drop-off, I would say, where are you? Well, Sendero's not going to tell you exactly where you are without going to a menu, but you can ask Siri and say, where am I? And Siri will tell you the address that you're at and your and the street that you're on. And then we would have to say, hey, walk to your closest intersection so we can figure out where you are and orientate yourself. Well, again, Sendero's great. It'll tell you the name of the intersection when you're at the intersection, but it won't tell you where it is in location to you or how to get to it. So that's what I found with the free version of that. The other huge difference is that app is $299.99. And I believe there's an annual update as well.
Well, I know we're getting close to an hour, and we're certainly nowhere near the end of this as long as we still have questions. But if there are any others who do drop off for that, I just want to thank you all for being here and remind you that we will have a next month's call in June. As Lissa mentioned, we have a conference later in June. I meant to mention this at the beginning of this call. However, we will be hopefully seeing a lot of you at the LHON Symposium Conference in Washington, D.C. June, the dates are escaping me, but
June 17th all day, and it starts on the 16th around 4 p.m. with a casual no-host meet-and-greet reception, which will be a lot of fun and worth being at, too.
Exactly. So I certainly encourage you all to be there for the 16th. I certainly will be there. Thank you, Lissa, for adding that valuable information.
What is the location of the conference? Where is it going to be held?
It's at the Hyatt Dulles Hotel in Herndon, Virginia, which is just right next to the Dulles Airport in the Washington, D.C. area. And
Hyatt
I don't
Dulles
know.
In Herndon, Virginia, is that what you said?
That's correct. And I don't know who's asking the question, but if you Facebook message me, I'd be glad to send you an email with all the information so you can register and I can give you all the information.
Unfortunately, my Facebook doesn't work well, so I'm having a problem with it.
Okay, or you can send me an email. It's lhonpoince@aol.com.
L-H-O-N. Go ahead.
P-O-I-N-C-E@aol.com,
okay.
And I'll send you all the information.
Fantastic. Are you Lisa? No.
That's me, Lisa, yeah.
Oh, hi, it's so nice to speak to you, and I want to compliment you on all the work you do for this group of people. It's wonderful, really. It's so informational, and I know it's a tremendous amount of work you put in, and it's so appreciated. By not only me. I'm sure I speak for everyone.
Ditto here. Matter of fact, when you posted about creating an event on Facebook for this new conference, it showed me links for last year. And so I sat there last night for about 3 hours watching, the conference thing. I saw Jessica in there, and I saw Maria and yourself all talking. And so I got a chance to see last year's, even though I didn't attend it. So, but I appreciate all you do as well. We all admire you and appreciate it. Thank you.
Just keeping us all connected is wonderful.
Exactly. No, and I'm glad we're able to share that information. If anyone does need to drop off, because I know it's been an hour at this point, thank you for being a part of it. But at this point, if anyone else has other questions, I know I have one, so I'm going to start it off. Rob, you mentioned something about connecting with Uber. which is probably my second favorite app now, only behind Blind Square. Could you share kind of what that does? I know you breezed over it. Can you share a little bit more there?
I think Rob might have lost his connection. But I'll let you know how it works. It's, if you have the Uber account set up, when you are in Blind Square, say for instance, when you hit a search button, you'll see that information panel that shows up. And a new button will magically appear that says Uber. That Uber button, when clicked, will give you information about place or pickups in your area, how long it would get to you, as well as the best price for you, and you can pay right there. It will also send the driver your coordinates so they know where to pick you up through text messaging.
That's great. And so any others have questions about Blind Square or anything else, we're happy to have those. Or if we want to continue.
You know, there's a question. Sorry, I'm seeing a question on Facebook that I just picked up. James is asking if the product will work in Australia.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thanks.
I have a question from Canada here.
Sure.
Does the Blind Square work only on an iPhone or can you use it on an iPad?
You can also use it on an iPad, yes, and or an iPod. The only thing that's necessary is that you have a data plan or you're connected to a Wi-Fi signal. If you're using it on an iPad or the iPods.
Okay. And here, I'm from Canada. We don't have Goober or whatever you said it's called for text.
Goober? Not yet.
What would you use in Canada?
They haven't paired up with another app. Uber is one of those that's really kind of like internet-based, so there's not really a call-in center. So if you know of places over in Canada like Uber that you'd like, we can always email Ilka and see if he might be able to include those as options.
Oh, so it's Uber.
Who was asking that question?
Uber.
Okay, I like the name Goober better, but okay.
Could I ask who was asking the question about Uber?
It's Lisa. I'm from Canada.
Where in Canada are you, Lisa?
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Well, that's not really Canada. So I'm in Ontario, and I can tell you that Uber does exist in Canada, although it may not exist in Winnipeg.
No, it doesn't exist in Winnipeg.
There are, as Andrea said, though, there are other taxi services. So what you may want to do is call your local cab company and inquire if they subscribe to any. If so, you can revert to, with me for that information. I can give you my email address, and we can try to fill that gap for you. So Go Canada, what a great question. Goober, I love it.
Thanks.
Goober. This is Jim McCroy again. After talking today as well, I want to contact a local TV station and see if they'll do a little plug for it. I watch the news every day, and they have a little 3 to 5 minute sections about, different things, and let them know about it. And, they won't, and nothing as in depth as we have here today, but I want to have them just put it out there. So I'll let you know if I'm successful in doing that.
Oh, that's great.
Rob, the folks in Australia are also asking if there are as many businesses listed in the database in Australia as one would find in the U.S.
Apart from the size of the countries, yes, because there are still – the source of the POI information is Foursquare. You don't need to be a Foursquare game player, but the amount of information is abundant. One of our users, who's a client of mine in my own business, is in Sydney, and she was one of the ones that told the delightful story. Well, I went to my bus stop, I'm waiting for the bus, and golly, I find out that there's a dry cleaner just around the corner. I never knew that. So,
I'm finding out stuff all the time around my neighborhood. I've lived here for 5-6 years, and never knew there was a 99-cent store around the corner. I'm just amazed at that. So it's the things it reveals to you. So
one thing that I'll set as an expectation of a conversation that you'll want to have with Andrea is the continuation of navigation. And as those who are still in the room listening would know, that as soon as you move indoors, GPS signal is lost. But BlindSquare is releasing version 3 this month, the third anniversary of the product. And included in that, which Andrea knows intimately because she's been a part of the project, is indoor navigation using iBeacons. And I don't want to consume time of that now, but just to kind of ring the tone of the subject, I think you'll find of great interest. And again, Andrea is an extraordinary resource on that.
Oh.
Rob, it sounds like that released before the conference then?
I'm sorry, I kind of got lost in the collision of voices there.
That's okay. I said it sounds like that new version will be released between now and June 17th then.
Yeah, the target date for the release is the 21st of May, Global Accessibility Awareness Day.
Great.
But that's
a
secret.
Have
a
question.
Don't tell anybody. Yes, sir.
This is Maria. I have a quick little thing to put in, but I often go on, you know, little road trips with the family. And, of course, as the non-driver and the one sitting in the passenger seat, I never know where we are. And I'm always going, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Like Jim was saying, you know, you're kind of trying to make out things. But even if you're traveling up the coast or maybe you're going to another state, you can just discreetly have that on, you know, on a road trip, and you don't have to, you know, be the five-year-old in the back seat going, where are we, where are we, how much longer, how much longer? You know, you can just always have that talking to you is what it sounds like and orienting you the whole way. And I think
Yes. That's
cool. You don't have to be asking constant questions, which we already do enough, you know, legally blind, but you can now just know. And, you know, gives you a little bit of that independence, if you will, back to your, you know, driving or sightseeing adventure that you used to have kind of back into your ear. And that's great. I love this.
If it's giving you too much or too little information, there's one where you can filter where it only gives you, you know, favorites or businesses, but also the distance around you. You can say, look around me at 80 feet, 190 feet, 200 feet, 500 feet. If you make that circle bigger, of course, then it's going to continue to be looking around bigger. If you make it smaller, so you can control right there. So like the first option on the menu there to show you that. So that's just if you do download it and it's either giving you too much information or not, it's talking too much or whatever, you can change that.
And the fact, going back to the headphones, which I need a pair immediately, the fact that, you know, you have your earbuds in, you, like you said, you can't hear if somebody's calling your name or somebody wants to talk to you. I can be in my own home and my kids are calling me, but I have my earbuds in, or I've got one in and you can't hear very well. So this would completely solve that, where I could have, you know, I could hear my family calling my name and still be listening to my latest voicemail or text, and the whole world's not hearing it, of course, but I can also say, I'll be right there, because I heard them. So
Andrea has some great stories about using them with her kids in education. She has two high schoolers who did a short video, and she said the teachers love them because the kids don't isolate themselves by wearing the headphones. So.
Well, more importantly than that, I mean, if you're listening to BlindSquare while you're traveling down the street and you're trying to cross the street, you have to be listening to the traffic. And you're listening to the traffic surge, and you've got something in your ear, you're impairing yourself that way. So it's more of a safety issue as well. You certainly don't want to put earbuds in there. So it works great, you know, in terms of traveling, being able to listen to your navigation, but, you know, not impair your ability to navigate.
Yeah, this is Eric Dawson in Washington.
Hello.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I was recently on a charter fishing trip. And I was having difficulty baiting my fishing hook, and was hoping this would help me out with that.
I'd like to do that. I'd like it to make me dinner, too, but it hasn't gotten that far.
you just set up each of your digits as points of interest, and your point of interest is that they not have a fish hook.
Yeah, exactly.
And it puts the fish right on the hook.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but just wait for version 4. It's okay.
Well, and I like the word that Andrea used, or possibly I don't know, it was Rob, was that you don't feel isolated because you've got the earbuds in your ears. You can be sitting around with family and, or, you know, like you said, at a at a restaurant. How many times have we all been at restaurants or at a family gathering and everybody's on their phone and you're just sitting there going, okay, so, because you know you have to turn on, you know, the voiceover to hear, you know, all your business. So
yeah.
If the case came up, you could have those on, and you could be checking the 4 text messages that came in the last 5 minutes without everybody hearing it, but yet, you know, you're still a part of what's going on, and that's really a big thing when you, you know, become visually impaired blind, that you still feel like you're part of what's going on around you in the world, in a group, that kind of thing. I just love everything about that.
At sporting events, in particular, you know, I mean, you're still there, part of the cloud. You can hear the beer when it's being, you know, about to be spilled on you. We have some great stories from people, particularly age-related blindness or age-related hearing loss as well, where they can wear them with or without hearing aids. And on the topic of earbuds, we've got somebody in. From New Zealand, who wears earbuds, or was wearing earbuds all the time because she liked listening to music, but just by the nature of her hearing, she has Najor syndrome, born without external ears. She had ear holes, but not outer ears, that she had really big problems with her ears canal being infected from the use of the earbuds. And until they healed, and that can be a long time, she was without one of the joys of her life. So, you know, the aftershocks took care of that. Some really
wow.
Neat stories around that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And with that, if there aren't any more questions, I know we're probably all going to have a dozen questions once we get off this call, and hopefully this encourages you all to come to the conference and ask Andrea your questions. So we will all look forward to that. However, I will allow people...
Andy, I'm sorry, real quick before you wrap it up, on the point of asking questions, Andrea has agreed to sort of hang out a little bit in our group. So if people ask questions, then I can tag her in, and so she can like answer some questions. So that's another option aside from just waiting for the conference. In addition, if you have questions, post them in the group, and I'll make sure she sees them, and she's offered to sort of answer the questions for us real time. So we're fortunate there too. Sorry, but keep on going.
No. But please, I'm constantly. I don't know why I'm surprised by how amazing Lissa makes this group every day still, but thank you for that, Lissa. And thank you to Andrea and Rob. Thank you to Jim for all being here and sharing your stories. And thank you for the work you've done on Blind Square and the experiences you have to share. This has been a great call, and hopefully a lot of people have gotten a lot of valuable information.
And everyone should remember, being blind is a different disability than being blind.
Yes. If you remember a few things, remember exactly what Eric just shared. Also remember that Maria tends to get 4 text messages every 5 minutes, so she's pretty popular. And those are my big takeaways.
Yeah. But I'm blonde, so sometimes I get really confused. So
that 4 may be 2. We're not sure, but
yeah.
Thank you all for being a
part
of this.
Thank you for inviting us to this.
Yep.
We're really happy to have been a part of it. Jim, thanks very much for sharing your story. Those first-person stories are really motivating. I mean, Andrea and I are in this for the passion. We're not making money at this, but we love the stories, and thank you. And Andy, yeoman service at keeping the cats nicely herded, so thank you.
It's a pretty easy group to keep calm. So then we do have this every month. So for those of you who are listening for the first time, please tune in next month. The first Wednesday of every month is when we do this. Could be the first week of June, that Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
June 3rd.
Yes, June 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So we'll certainly look forward to hearing you. Again, if there's anyone on this call who was encouraged and not overwhelmed or by Jim's story and you'd like to be sharing your story next time, feel free to email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We'd love to have you be a speaker in one of the months to come. We're always interested in new first-person stories, like Rob said. That's pretty much the reason we do this. So
very much appreciate the one-day heads-up.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Very much appreciate the one-day heads-up.
Oh. Well, I apologize if I should have given you more of a heads-up. So.
No, no. I like it when it's just one day because I don't forget.
Oh, well,
perfect.
Well, then you're very welcome, Eric. Well, we're so glad you could be here. So thank you, everyone.
We missed your video this month.
I know.
You did. I meant to film one from Disney World when I was there last week, but it didn't happen. So I apologize
for
that. No,
you're showing off.
Yeah, exactly. I am showing off. That's me suddenly showing off. But
slacking off, Andy. Hey, you know, I'll make up for it along the way. Maria will. You know, I'll do like
exactly.
Six. Get the blooper reel. The blooper reel. I'm making it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, your poor son.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the call tonight. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You all take care.
Good night.
All right.